In the classic film, The Wizard of Oz, which happens to be, as many of you know, Kim's favorite movie, at the end of the film, after Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion had accomplished their mission that the wizard had sent them on of bringing back the broomstick of the Wicked Witch, as you know the story, and Dorothy was at this point really getting anxious to return back to Kansas. They brought the broomstick back into the throne room of the wizard, who they thought was this big green head suspended over a basket. And they're talking and carrying on this conversation, and they said, "We've done what you've asked us to do. Now please grant our request." And he says, "Not so fast, not so fast." He's carrying on this conversation. And meanwhile, Toto, if you remember the movie, runs over to the side, pulls back a curtain, and the little man is standing there carrying on all this stuff to try to fool them. And he says, "Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain." Anybody remember that classic part of the movie? But whole built on deception and smoke and mirrors. And that whole thing was nothing more than a show. Tried to defool and to deceive Dorothy and others and everybody else in the town of Oz to think that the wizard was somebody that he wasn't. He's just an ordinary man like the rest of them. And his purpose was to try to fool and to deceive. Or in one of my favorite classic cartoons that comes out of the newspaper and also on TV, The Peanuts. I love The Peanuts, produced by Charles Schulz. But if you ever remember that classic scene where in the fall, it's football season, and Lucy always sets up the football, and Charlie Brown comes running in. This time he thinks he's going to cook that football and he's going to get it, if you remember the thing. And he runs, and every time he goes and gets ready to kick it, what does she do? She pulls it away, and he goes flying up to the air and lands down on his back. And he gets fooled every single time, and he gets deceived every single time by Lucy's antics. Paul this morning is instructing the Thessalonians that they would not become fooled or deceived by the situation, the events around them that they were experiencing, and by the rise of a person who was going to come into power, who was going to deceive and deceive the world at that time in their day. Because many in the church there at Thessalonica had become confused and become deceived because of false teaching that had come into their church. And yes, they were growing in their faith, as we had seen, and they were growing in their relationship with Christ, but they began to be confused about things they were hearing, things they were seeing, and they were beginning to wonder if what they were taught was true. Sometimes we can begin to see things that's going on in our world and it doesn't make sense to us, and we wonder, how does this all fit? And the Thessalonians were thinking that as well. So Paul, in this part of the letter, was writing to them to help them not to be fooled or taken in by their confusion about the timing of the Lord. Because Paul had taught them earlier that Christ was going to be coming back, but persecution was increasing. Many of their believers and friends had died. Persecution was getting more intense. And some of them thought that they had missed the return of the Lord. And to top it off, they received a letter, some kind of communication that someone sent into their church that supposedly came from Paul and told them that the Lord Jesus had already come back, and that they missed it. And they had that fear that they had missed Jesus' return, and they were living in confusion. So we get to this point of the letter, and Paul was writing to them to encourage them not to be led astray. Because our enemy is subtle, and his whole purpose is deception. From the very beginning, that's what he wants to do, is to deceive. And he tries even to deceive us as believers, if possible. Let's go to the Word this morning and see what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica to give them some instruction as we look at the coming of what he says about the coming of a man who will later on we know as the Antichrist, and his teaching on the scripture on what it means of the Lord's return, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about that. And the first thing we see is that we need to stay grounded in God's word so that we're not fooled, so that we're not led astray. Paul reminded the church and us to stay grounded in God's word and in his truth, because he says we can easily become alarmed. Because when we are grounded in his word and grounded in his truth, it keeps you and I from becoming unsettled. Unsettled with news we may hear, unsettled with trials we go through and experience. And that's what was happening there in Thessalonica. Notice what he said to them as Tracy read it. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by what you're hearing. Apparently, someone had brought a report to the church at Thessalonica that Paul told them that the Lord had already returned, that they missed it. Suppose it was a letter, a communication from Paul himself that Jesus had returned, and they thought they were left behind. And they were unsettled and they were rattled, especially when they saw the tribulation they were going through and the trials. They thought they were in the midst of the tribulation period, and they thought they had missed the Lord's return. And they were unsettled because they've become confused. Sometimes we can become unsettled when we hear the news. We become unsettled when we're going through heartache into our life, or when we're going through times of difficulty and trials and adversity in our life. Sometimes we can become unsettled or rattled. And we can be filled with anxiety and worry and concern. We all can at times. But Paul says, if we stay grounded in God's word and in God's truth, his word is that foundation. It's the fortress. It's the firm foundation we plant our feet on, so that when those hard times come, we won't be rattled. Why? Because we know what God's word says. We know what God has said in his truth, and we won't be deceived, and we won't be fooled by conflicting reports or by something that we heard is true. Because it keeps us from being unsettled, because false teaching can rob us of our peace. And that's what was happening here. They were basically a nervous wreck. They were shaken, they were confused, they were upset, they were troubled. They were basically an emotional wreck because they thought they had missed the Lord's return. And their faith was shattered by something they heard that wasn't true. And Paul said it was unnecessary because it was based on a lie. It was based on a false report. And he said, staying grounded in the truth of God's word, knowing what his word teaches us, helps us to remain steadfast. It keeps us from becoming unrattled by something we hear that may not be true. A good example from our modern day is this work, what we hear on climate change. And what they're telling young people in schools today, and what they're telling young people, they have a lot of the younger people convinced that in 10 or 20 years from now, the world's going to come to end. And unless everything radically changes, the world's going to end. And there's a whole young people of society, young people growing up with that fear. And when we're grounded in God's truth with a biblical worldview, we can stay focused and unsettled in what we hear. It ruins our perspective as well, because they thought they had missed Christ's return, and their whole perspective was on the wrong thing. And when we don't stay grounded in his word, our perspective can go out of line, that when those hard times come and we get unsettled in our faith, we can begin to think God's deserted us. We can begin to think that he's forsaken us, or we can begin to think he's not going to come through when we need him, or we can begin to think that I'm not going to get out of this mess I'm in, that there's no way I'm going to make it through this. And we begin to focus on our problem. We begin to focus on that instead of Christ. And we lose our perspective because we focus on the wrong thing. And we become shaken and rattled in our faith. So God challenges us this morning, stay focused, stay grounded in his truth, so you won't become unsettled with the storms of life. The word of God is that anchor that holds us fast. When the winds come and the storms blow against all of us, which they will, it's anchored fast into the truth of God's word that is our mooring that keeps us from drifting. It's our mooring that keeps us solid when the winds blow, when the waters rise and the boat is drifting in those waves. Notice what he said to the Thessalonians. He said, I can't believe, he said, how you become easily, we asked you not to become easily unsettled or alarmed. He couldn't understand how they had become so easily unsettled by what they heard that wasn't true. He said, he was like saying to them, if you would have known, I taught you the truth. He said, I taught you what God's word says. And stay grounded in what his truth is, so you hear something contrary, it won't make you question or be unsettled or shaken. And also staying grounded in God's word keeps you and I from being deceived. Because he says in verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. The church here had easily become deceived and fallen into prey to deception because they were not grounded in the deep truth of God's word. Even though Paul had taught it to them, they easily believed the lie, the deception that was being passed on to them through this false report. They thought that the Lord would return and they fell for it. And they easily were led astray. Just as Satan is a master deceiver, will try what he can to deceive us. But when we're anchored deeply in the truth of God's word, he helps us remain solid. We won't be deceived. That's why the scripture says, study to show yourself a man rightly dividing the word of truth, a man approved unto God. So stay grounded in his word so we won't become unsettled. But the second thing we see this morning that Paul reminds us and instructs us, we spend most of our time here, and that's to stay focused on God's plan so that we're not led astray, so we're not fooled, so we're not thinking God is up to something else that we think he's doing. That so we know exactly what his purpose is, to stay focused on his plan. And the rest of these verses talks about the Lord's return and the rise of what's going to happen prior to the Lord's return. And there, if ever you want to know any kind of uncertainty and get into discussion with a lot of different people, a lot of different opinions, just start talking about the Lord's return. Because everybody has their ideas and opinions as to when they think it will be or their understanding of it. And Paul says we need just to stay focused on the big picture. Not to get all caught up in the weeds and the details, but to focus on the fact of what's going to happen in his plan as the Lord reveals it to us. They were shaken because they thought they had missed the greatest event yet to happen, and that's the return of Christ. But Paul says, no, some things have to happen first. And then these verses, from verses 3 to 12, he tells us that three main events are going to occur prior to the Lord's return. And knowing his word, knowing his truth, and the plan that God has laid out for us helps us to keep our focus and our perspective. Stay focused on God's plan, because Paul tells us that things are going to get worse before they get better. Now, that's not something we want to hear. But he was reminding the Thessalonians of that, that things are going to get worse before they're going to get better for them. And they thought that they had missed the return because they were experiencing persecution and intense wickedness. And he says, no, that's part of the plan that God has foretold and laid out for us, that things are going to get worse. Now, that's not what we want to hear. We think things are pretty bad now. They thought things were pretty bad in their day, but Paul is telling us, you know what? As we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, we're going to see more and more evil. We're going to see more and more wickedness. And it's going to be culminated, he said, in the coming of a man of lawlessness, as we'll see. But things are going to get worse before they get better. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy, just turn back a couple books there. Actually, just one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, but mark this, There will be terrible times in the last days, and people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungodly, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul says, realize that as we get closer to the Lord's return, there are going to be terrible days. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And he said three major things are going to happen, and the Lord's not going to come back until these three things occur. And it was a comfort to the Thessalonians to know, and to us as well, that God is in control. He has a plan. He is sovereign. And as things go from bad to worse, he said the truth is going to be rejected, and the truth will be rejected. He said in verse 3, he said, the end will not come until the rebellion occurs. That word rebellion means falling away. He said before the Lord returns, there's going to be a time of great rebellion against the Lord, and his truth and his righteousness will be rejected. That people will not want to hear about the Lord anymore. That people will not want to know and be taught in his truth. Do we see those kind of things happening around us? Do we see the truth of God being rejected? He said, that's one of the things that will be. But he said, and will come after that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul, again, reminding Timothy of that. And he says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceptive spirits and things taught by demons. And such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron. And they forbid people to marry and abstain in order to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Paul said that in the last times, people are going to reject the truth and what his truth is going to be distorted. And thinking maybe that they're teaching on behalf of God. And he says they forbid people to marry and abstain from certain foods. Just a couple weeks ago, when Molly and her mother were here, we took them up to the Ephrata Cloister. And if you've ever been to the Ephrata Cloister, it's all built upon a guy, Conrad Beisel, who established that community. And he established a community with the belief that the Lord was turning and returning in their lifetime, just as the Thessalonians had thought, and that Jesus was going to come back in their day. And so he got a group, a commune together, and told them that they had to be celibate, they had to abstain from certain foods, and they had to do all these things. And every night at midnight, they would get up waiting for the Lord's return, thinking that the Lord was going to come at midnight, and they didn't want to miss it. Yes, they were living with expectancy, but yet they were kind of deceived. And Paul said, even in the end times, there's going to be much of that kind of deception going on. As the truth is rejected of what God's taught, that's why we need to stay grounded in his word. But the truth will be rejected. And Paul went on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that people will not want to hear the truth, but will gather teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. What are we going on in our churches today? Don't we hear many churches that have forsaken the truth because they don't want to offend people? They tell them and water everything down. Paul said that's one of the things that will happen as things go from worse to worse. But yet the Lord's return isn't then. The truth will be rejected. And the second thing he says is things go from get worse before they get better, is that the Antichrist will be revealed. In verses 3 through 10, he describes for us this man of lawlessness, as he calls him, which we understand as the Antichrist. When we went through the book of Revelation, we studied him more depth. But he said, the day of the Lord will not come until the man of lawlessness is revealed. He was assuring them that they didn't miss the Lord's return because the Antichrist hadn't yet arisen to the scene. And we know that the Antichrist is going to come first before Jesus comes back to destroy him. And he said that there's coming a man who will be revealed, who he describes as a man of lawlessness. And lawlessness there meaning that he is absolutely the embodiment of evil. We don't know who the Antichrist is. And throughout time, people have been trying to predict. And they've been trying to say the Antichrist is so-and-so. We don't know. And he hasn't risen to the scene yet. That's how we know that we didn't miss the Lord's return. We're ready for it. But we don't know who he is, but we know who he's coming. But Paul does describe several things here about him to us. That his purpose as he comes will be to deceive. And he sees he's a man that's doomed to destruction. And he, just like Christ, whose purpose is the Antichrist, meaning he is opposed to Christ, but taking that word Christ, meaning he is going to take a lot of his qualities. But just like Christ, he will have a mission. And in verse 4, it says that his mission, his purpose, is to oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God. And he will set himself up in the temple, proclaiming himself to be God, just as Jesus' mission was to come to seek and to save us. The Antichrist's mission, when he comes to power, is going to gather worship to himself. From the very beginning, Satan had one purpose. And Satan's purpose was to exist himself, to exalt himself higher than God, and have people worship him. And on the day of the Antichrist's arrival, that's his mission. And it says, in the middle of the tribulation time, he will gather the nations, the people together, and declare himself as God in the temple of Jerusalem and require all to worship him. But just as Christ, he will have a coming. And it says in verse 9 that he will come, the coming of the lawless one. Just as Christ had a coming, so he will. His purpose is to deceive. He will also be empowered. It says in verse 9 that he will be empowered by the work of Satan and in accordance with the work of Satan within him. And that this man who will appear, the Antichrist, as he's described here for us, will be empowered and indwelled by Satan himself and the spirit of Satan within him, just as Christ was empowered by the Lord, by God himself, who is God, the Holy Spirit. It also says that he will perform miracles in verse 9. Displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. And his purpose is to deceive and to fool the world and make the world think that he is Jesus, to make the world think that he is God, and to bring all nations to him. And he's going to have all kinds of power to deceive. And he also will be a reflection of his father, the father of lies. But as things go from bad to worse, Paul says the truth will be rejected, the Antichrist will appear. That hasn't yet happened. And he also said the restrainer will be removed. As we look back at verses 5 through 7, he says, also the day of the Lord will not come, he said, until the restrainer is holding him back. He said, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of his lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. What Paul is saying is the Antichrist will not be revealed and made known until the restrainer is removed. And so you ask, well, what is the restrainer, or who is the restrainer? A lot of Bible teachers have different ideas on who they believe or what they believe the restrainer is. Some teach that the restraining force in the world today against evil is government. And I ask you, if the restraining force against evil in the world today is government, how's government doing with that? You think that's the answer? We heard again today about more shootings. If government is the restraining force of evil in our world, then government, I don't think, is doing too good of a job. It's not. I don't believe it's government. Some others believe that the restraining force against evil in the world today, and once the restraining force against evil is removed, the Antichrist will be revealed. Some believe that's the church. That the role of the church in the world is to be salt and light. That we're in the world to confront evil and to be a restraining force against it. And once the church is removed in the rapture, we've talked about in Revelation, that's when things are really going to get bad, when the church is gone. And it very well could be that the church is a restrainer. Others believe that the restraining force is the Holy Spirit himself. That the Holy Spirit's work of restraining evil in the world, and that someday, in the time of the tribulation, God's going to remove his hand of protection to let evil have its way. But whatever that restrainer is, whether it's the Holy Spirit of the church or both, Paul is telling us that day's going to come when God's going to take all the restraint off of evil and it's going to go unchecked. If you think things are bad now, just think what it's going to be like when all restraint of evil is gone. That's not going to be a nice time. It's not going to be a good time. That's a tribulation time that we've seen, that we looked at in the time of in a book of Revelation. But he said, that will occur. That's yet to be a part of God's plan. So things will go from bad to worse, he said. So stay focused on his plan and don't get discouraged. Don't be unsettled or unrattled by what you see. And that's what he was reminding Thessalonians. Don't let your faith be shaken. Because God has a plan, God has a purpose, and he's bringing about. In that plan, things will go from bad to worse. But the second part of that plan is that a day is coming, he says, when all evil will be gone and all evil will end. And so that's the good thing. He was telling him, don't be fooled, don't be unsettled, don't be unshaken, be grounded, be firm, because the day of all evil will come to an end. He says in verses 10 through 12, he says, every sort of evil and the desires of the Antichrist will be gone, and they will perish because they refused to love the truth and be saved. He says, and that day of evil will end because the Antichrist will be destroyed. In verse 8, he says that the lawless one who will be revealed, the Lord, his reign will be short-lived because the Lord will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. What Paul is telling us here is one single word from Christ is all it takes. And the Antichrist may consolidate his power. He may reign evil for 7 years, and it may be a time of great unrestrained evil on this earth that's going to be horrible, such as the world has never seen. We're experiencing evil and heartache now. But Paul is telling us, hang on, because a day is coming when it will come to an end, because when the Lord returns, one single word is all it takes. And even now in our life, as we're waiting, as we're going through heartache, as we're going through discouragement, as we're going through illness, one single word from the Lord is all it takes to end it. One single word from him. Remember the story where man had an illness, his servant had an illness, a centurion, and he came to Jesus and said, my servant who I really love is ill, come to my, and would you heal him? And Jesus said, I'll go to your house. He said, no, you don't need to come to my house, just speak the word. And Jesus spoke the word. He returned home, and he was told at that very hour that Jesus spoke the word, he was healed. That's all it takes, is the one single word of Christ. So hang on to his truth and hang on to his comfort, to know that the evil will be destroyed with one single word of Christ, but also the ungodly will be judged. In verses 10 to 12, he tells us that all evil will come to an end. Those who oppose us, those who oppose Christ, will stand before the Lord in what he's called the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, and will appear before the Lord. And it says they will be judged for three reasons. And you say, well, why? Why are they experiencing that? Well, he says, because when people stand before God, they have no excuse. Because he says they refuse to believe in verse 10. They refuse to believe the truth and that in order to be saved. And when someone stands before God someday, and last week we had seen the horror that awaits that, when people stand before God, all of us will have no excuse. And for those who meet their judgment, it's because they refuse to believe the truth and somehow were fooled. And they fell for the lie in verse 11, that for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion that they will believe the lie. In the very beginning, when Satan came to Adam and Eve, his whole purpose is he's a liar and deceiver. And what did he say to them? He said, you will not die, and you will be like God yourself. And the same lie that continues to tell people today, and when people stand before the Lord someday, it's because they fell for that lie of the enemy and end up being deceived. And they delight in wickedness, he says. And for that reason, God's judgment is just. He said to them, don't be unsettled. Don't be alarmed by what you hear, but stay focused and grounded in my word. Don't let your heart be rattled or shaken. So what's the takeaway? What's God saying to us this morning? And the simple takeaway is this: don't be unsettled in your faith. Don't be unsettled by hard times you're going through. Don't be unsettled by conflicting news reports. Don't be unsettled by situations in the world. Don't be unsettled by trials or tribulations or heartache or discouragement or anything else. Don't be unsettled, but stay grounded. Stay grounded in His Word and His truth, because it is our anchor. And second, don't be fooled, but stay focused. Stay focused on His plan and on His purpose of what He has for us, knowing that things will get worse before they get better, but in the end, the Lord will make it all right. And that's God's word to us this morning from His truth. Let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that through Your word this morning, that You would give us that security, that Your word is that foundation of faith, that You are our fortress, that we don't have to be shaken or unsettled in our faith when we experience hard times, when we experience, Lord, things that we see around, going on around us, that may shake our faith. But Your word is solid. Your truth is steadfast. And Lord, we can stay focused on You and on Your, stay grounded on Your word, and we don't become unsettled or alarmed by what's going on around us in the world, because we have a solid foundation, that we don't lose our footing or our security, but it's grounded deep in You. That we know, Lord, who we believe in. And we know, Lord, that You are in control of history, and You are guiding all things into Your hands. That You are reign, and You are sovereign over men and nations, and You are bringing everything according to Your plan. So, Lord, help us not to be unsettled or unnerved by things going on around us in the world, but to stay grounded in Your truth. And Lord, help us not to be deceived, but to be focused on You and on Your plan, on what You have revealed to us in Your word, knowing, Lord, that You are guiding history, and You will bring it all to your plan and Your will. Lord, when we see things getting worse around us, help us, Lord, not to get discouraged by that or unsettled or shaken by that, but realize that that's part of the plan, that that's what You said must happen before You return. Things are going to continually get worse until that final day. So, Lord, may that not shake in our faith, but may that be an encouragement to us, because as we see things getting worse, we know we're getting closer to Your day that You return. And so, Lord, that's the expectancy that we live with, that You will make it all right in the end, that day is coming when all heartache and sorrow will end, and that You will, Your kingdom will come. And, Lord, we pray that that kingdom would come. And we just thank You for that hope, that we live in expectancy, that we live with that security and that promise that You have given to us through Christ. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.